for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Midwinter Camp Meeting, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Monday afternoon, December the 31st, 1979. David Bunch, Sr. of Van Nuys, California, is teaching on deliverance.
I think we'll just turn the service right over to Brother David and let him get in as much time teaching and learning as we can. Brother David, I'll turn the tape on over there and you lay it on us.
We're thankful for this camp meeting, and there have been a lot of beautiful truths. Remember, we many times have just touched things. There's a whole area of study that you need to explore and go on until you have a full knowledge of it. There's no way that we can unveil to you and take the time. My position has been during the camp meeting to preach in the evening service. And preaching is a little different than teaching, although they are connected. A good preacher will have food and nuggets and things, but it's a little different than taking a chart and taking time and going through things. But I want to talk a little bit today concerning deliverance. In these meetings, if you will listen, God will quicken things. When he quickens those things, you write them down, and then later you go back and you explore that and follow the leading of the Spirit. Leading of the Spirit is not just being talking to somebody when God leads you to talk to them, but it's obeying the Lord in prayer life. It is obeying the Lord in those little things that he gives you as far as nuggets to explore them and to ferret these wonderful truths out. Now, the question comes up many times, and always is the big bone of contention, how can a Christian have a demon? And so I want to talk about that a little bit this afternoon and just share with you concerning some very definite truths. Now, first of all, deliverance is for the saints of God. It's for the saints of God. In Matthew, and amongst all the notes that I had of Lee's message this morning, in the 15th chapter of Matthew, in the 22nd verse, it says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." It always tickles me because I've heard ministers again and again say that healing is the children's bread, referring to this portion of Scripture. It doesn't say that anything about healing, although deliverance is a healing. But it says that this woman, this daughter, was grievously vexed with a devil. Now, some people say, well, we lose our healing. You don't lose the healing necessarily. You are without deliverance. That caused the affliction in the first place reinfects or starts its work again. Healing is one aspect. The Word of God, ministry of healing, is healing that has been damaged. In other words, if you have been damaged in the heart, God restores that heart. He heals the damage there. But without getting rid of the demon of heart trouble, then he begins his work again, and little by little, and then they say, oh, or he will come and he'll try to get you to deny that healing by bringing symptoms. You see, and we are snared by the words of our own mouth. We are taken captive by the words of our own mouth. And so one of the important things, not only to keep yourself from being infested, but to keep yourself from being reinfested, is a proper confession. Thou art snared by the words of thine own mouth. And we need to learn to guard what we say. Now, here, this woman, a woman of Canaan, comes into Jesus and says, I have a daughter that's got a problem with demon powers. She needs deliverance. She's grievously vexed with the devil. And Jesus says, it's not right for me to give the children's bread to the dogs. Now, here's our loving Savior. Here's the one that came to seek and to save that which is lost, denying a woman and calling her a dog. Now, she seeks this, and he said, no, it belongs to the children. You're of Canaan, you're a Syrophoenician woman, you are not entitled to this. And I've been sent to the lost sheep of Israel, and it's not yours. Well, of course, we know the beautiful story where she says, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs. That faith. And you notice what Jesus says in this portion of Scripture. He says, all right, as you will, so be it unto you. He had already declared, it is not will, my will, because the Father sent me to the children of God. But he said, your faith, I haven't seen faith like this. This faith has bridged this gap. And so it's your will. And when he went home, this daughter was set free. But the thing that I want to emphasize is here that Jesus refused this woman because she was not of the household of God. He used as his excuse for calling her a dog that she was not of the household of God. And yet we find in the Word of God another story, and that story is also over in Mark, the 7th chapter and the 24th verse, the following. But over in Luke, the 13th chapter, Luke 13, we find the story of a woman. The Bible says, the 10th verse, starting with the 10th verse in the 13th chapter of Luke, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Now, she didn't have a toeache, or she didn't have a headache, or she had a spirit of infirmity. 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. He got rid of a demon power that had bowled her over. And the rulers of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work in them. Therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his oxen or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from the bonds on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Now, notice here, if you please, that he used as his excuse that she was of the household of God, a daughter of Abraham. He didn't reject her. He sought her out. Set us free. He desires good things for us. But healing and deliverance belongs to the household of God. I said the other night, why would God turn around and take a Christian that has epilepsy and let them continue with it, but turn around and let an unsaved person and deliver them from it? No good thing will he withhold from those who love him and walk upright with him. But it's the children's bread. It's just that simple. You see, Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, I believe it is, he said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Well, he didn't say abacadabra. He cast those demons out. They were clean because he cleansed them. He said to them in the 10th chapter of Matthew, and this is a very important scripture. I think that maybe we ought to just turn over there and and look at this portion, the 10th chapter of Matthew. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the names of the 12, and it lists the names here. And then he said in the 5th verse, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaria enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. They had received deliverance and healing. He said, you freely received it. He implies here that they that have accepted him, they that walk with the Master himself, receive what? Healing and the casting out of demons and so forth. He said, freely you have received, now freely give. Now, we can interpret this, of course, that freely I'm giving you the power to do this, but I don't think that's what it's implying. It's saying the same thing is in John, where he says, you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Freely you have received, now freely give. When we are given the message of salvation, we're responsible for giving it out. When we have been healed, we are responsible for declaring that Christ is a healer. With his stripes we're healed. When we are delivered, we are responsible for that truth that God has made real. When you have received knowledge and understanding and truth that you've received in these camp meetings, you are responsible for that truth. That doesn't mean that you're going to suddenly now run out on a street corner, but it does mean that as God opens the door, you're going to share. God has people that are hungry. God has people that are ready. Now, I want you to notice this particular scripture because it is quite a potent scripture as far as this area is concerned. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. What were they going with? Healing, deliverance, and don't take it to the Gentiles. Don't take it to the unsaved. Did you follow that? That's what it says. It says, go not into the way of the Gentiles or into any city of Samaria. Enter ye not. What were the Samaritans? Well, they were those that were left behind during the captivity. They intermingled with those that the captors brought in, and therefore the Jews considered them Gentiles or backslid or polluted or wayward. That's why when Jesus came to the woman at the well, she said, how is it that thou being a Jew ask water of me, since the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? You see? And so he refused her. I mean, he didn't refuse her, but she said, I'm surprised. Well, he was giving another beautiful picture here, because he tells this woman of all of her husbands, and then the Bible says that he abode with her. With them, he went into the city and he abode with them 2 days. And a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is 1 day. And the time of the Gentiles is approximately 2,000 years. You see how easy it is to get off on these other things? It's the hardest thing is to stay right on. You see, even the holy place, its dimensions are 10 by 10 by 20, and 10 times 10 times 20 is 2,000. The time of the Gentiles. You see, we're right at the end of that period. And then God says, except the time be short, and man would destroy himself. And so here it is. And so he says, don't have anything to do. Don't go to the Gentiles, to the outside world, and don't go to the Samaritans. But he specifically says where to go with this message of deliverance. And as it says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of God. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. All right. Now go down to the 11th verse. And it says, unto whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy. and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, let's just stop there for a minute. Now, where is he going? Well, he's going where? Go preach the kingdom and go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's going to those that are the household of God. And he said, when you come to that city, or when you come to that town, or when you come to that home, when you go into that home, salute it. Let your blessing be there. But he said, go to those that are worthy. In other words, it implies that even in this city that is of the Israel, there are those that in particular are going to be set free in this last day. There is a ministry that is coming to the priesthood that is going to cleanse them. You see, before the priest went into the Holy of Holies, he had to wash himself. Before he could take and represent the people and meet the needs of the people, he had to cleanse himself. And God is going to cleanse that priesthood that will go in and become kings and rule with him. And so he said, you go into this household and you let your blessing be there. But find out who's worthy. Don't just go into any household. Be led by my Spirit. Inquire. Find out who's worthy. And when you go in, if they receive you, if they receive your message, then let your blessing be there. In other words, what is their message? The message, if you please, is deliverance, raising the dead, the supernatural, but deliverance, casting out of devils. And he said, those that receive you, let your blessing. But if they refuse you, if you go to this people and they refuse you, cast off the dust off of your feet, for it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the judgment day than for that people. Let me tell you in all sincerity, and I don't say it in belligerence or in retaliation for the things that are done or said or anything else, but I say it because the word says here that those of the household of God that refuse the deliverance message and the message of the supernatural are going to be judged so severely that it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day than for them. I think it's very important that we are open to the leading of the Spirit. Man down through the years has closed the door to truth. After he has learned a little truth, then he's closed the door. He's built a little hedge around him, and that's all. But remember, if that is true all the way down through, that can be true of you in the position you're in right now. We preached about the higher praise last night. There is a higher realm. There is a higher praise. And we need to press on into that higher praise, you see. And we need to press in not just in the area of praise, but in every area, in the reading of the Word. And into deliverance, God is still revealing things. God is still unveiling the chain of command. And we will, before the service is over today, I want to put the chart up here and I'll leave it slow. If you've got a pencil and paper, I'm going to let you copy down the chain of command. Last year, God wouldn't allow me to show the hierarchy. And I didn't understand why, but I do understand now because God, I had three things wrong. And God wanted me to go back and turn them around a little bit. And he had talked to me, you see. And I don't present these things as dogmatically the final thing, but they have been proven. People ask me, Brother Bunch, where do you get the names of the demons? Number one, many times as I'm praying for people, God gives me the name. Through the word of knowledge, through the word of wisdom, through discerning of spirits. However, God can work in any way, you see. The word of knowledge, people like to put restrictions upon it, but God can give me knowledge concerning our brother Miller and his need by I looking and seeing it. That's the word of knowledge. How God conveys it, it is up to him. Or I can look and see a vision and see his need pass before me. Or God can speak to me and I can hear, and that's conveying a word of knowledge. Or I can feel his infirmity. I can feel the very pain he feels, and when I pray for him, the pain leaves me and it has left him. And I am not content to restrict just to that. Why is it, if we got a supernatural God, why don't we want him and allow him to be supernatural? You see? All right. Though Jesus said, the works that I do, sure you do also. Now, if he had never cast out a demon, well, then I would say, well, then that's, we shouldn't be doing that. But he said, we're supposed to do what he did. Amen? And he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. And for those that came in a little late and they didn't hear it, we went into the Syrophoenician woman, and he refused her and called her a dog because she was not of the household of God. And what did she want? Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. He said, no, that's the children's bread. But the church world, full of pride, full of tradition, will not move on in God's plan. And therefore, they're going to miss the last day. And all I can say to you is, beloved, don't you be content in your area, but continue on in the things of God, lest you too build a hedge, lest you too think you've arrived, lest you too fall short. Paul said, not as though I've already obtained, but I'm pressing on towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, if Paul hadn't obtained, he who wrote the majority of the New Testament, he who cast out devils and all the gifts of the Spirit worked in his life, if he hadn't obtained, how far down on the totem pole does that leave you and me? Huh? He says, I'm pressing on towards that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's make sure we're moving on. Let's make sure that there is a progression, not only in deliverance area, but in every area. And I emphasize this again, because it's most important, that you balance out. This campground, as far as I can see it now, is balanced or trying to be balanced. And it's important, because if you have nothing but deliverance and no word of God or study of the word of God to fill that vacant place that the demon has cast out, but my Bible says the demon comes back and finds that temple clean and empty, and the latter part of that is worse than the beginning. There is involved in filling, in worship, in studying, in occupying that area of your life. It's a lot like coming in, and I have a message I preach on killing your cousins. We're not going to have time to touch that while we're here. I wanted to preach on the United States, Great Britain, and Soviet Russia in the light of the Word of God. But we haven't got time for that either. But we'll do it later. Alrighty? Okay. But we need to... Where was I? I interrupted myself, didn't I? Oh, well. Oh, yes. All right. Thank you, Brother Glenn. My. You know, when your wife isn't there to correct you or to help you along, you've got to have somebody else to help you once in a while. Praise God be fine. Every good man is a good wife. Ladies, now's the time to say amen. You're missing your cues. You missed them last night. You're missing them today. All right. You see, the coming out of Egypt, the overall plan, these things were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so, they say the Old Testament is Christ concealed, the New Testament is Christ revealed. But anyway, we find them coming through the wilderness, and surely it's true that there are times on this earth we go through dry places. We go through the desert land, don't we? We have our times of trial, but we come into the promised land, and we come into the truth and the reality. And I don't believe that the Jordan is necessarily talking about, the typology many times fits in many places. You can apply it in one place and you can apply it in another. They don't contradict one another, but they enlarge and so forth. The Word of God is a precious, beautiful, beautiful thing. And so we come into salvation, and then begins the battle of setting the land free. As they were conquering a earthly material land out there, we're conquering an earthly land too. It's called the flesh. From dust it came, from dust it returns. And in that country, in that land, are many walled cities. Yeah, and armies that we must contend with and conquer the land. All righty? We must bring our body under subjection. Just plain, bring our body under subjection. All right? There is a battle to be won. There is a victory that needs to be yours as you walk and develop in the Lord. And it involves deliverance. It involves deliverance. That's one aspect of it. That is not all of it. It's a very, very important part of it. For who can come before God? And who's it talking about? Well, certainly it applies to us in our prayer life now, but it applies to that priesthood. Who can come God before but he with clean hands and a pure heart? There's going to be a cleansing of that priesthood, of that man-child, of those that go through the veil and behind the veil, because they will have clean hands and a pure heart. They will be changed. Yeah. And we find that there is a battle that goes on, don't we? When we get saved, we suddenly find that there's a warfare that's going on. And we find that the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary the one to the other. Oh, but Brother Bunch, isn't your body the temple of God? Yeah, it is, but what body are you talking about? 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter says, there is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. Now follow careful. Because you'll have people say, well, now, wait a minute. How can God and Satan dwell in the same temple? They don't. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And God dwells in that spiritual body. Why do I know that? Because the Bible says in Romans, the 7th chapter, in me, that is in my flesh, in my natural body, in my fleshly body, dwelleth no good thing. Now, if Christ dwells within my fleshly body, then God's word calls him a no good thing. He doesn't dwell in the fleshly body. He dwells in the spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And so, therefore, the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There is a battle there. The old Indian that was saved and gave his heart to the Lord was visited by the missionary a while later, and he said, how are you doing? And he said, well, he said, I find that's within me are two dogs. He says, yeah. He said, a white dog and a black dog. He said, a white dog and a black dog? He said, yeah, and they're always fighting. He said, well, which one wins? He said, whichever one I say sick 'em to. And whichever one I feed. Now, if you're going to feed the fleshly body of the flesh, you're going to reap what? Corruption. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And so when you sow to the appetites, that doesn't mean that you'll no longer love your wife. It doesn't mean you'll no longer enjoy a nice steak. But it's not the object, it's not the thing that is the driving force of your life. If you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you're going to reap corruption. And so as you sow to the appetite of sex, you open the door for sexual spirits to come because you have overbalanced it. Or if you sow to the food and it is the object of your life and you eat and so forth, you're going to reap demon powers under Damien and under a gluttony and obesity. And so forth. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so, it's where it's which dog you're feeding. No wonder Jesus called her a dope dog. No, I'm not implying that. All right. Do you follow what I'm saying? Beloved, there is deliverance, and it belongs to the children's bread, but the church as a whole has ignored it. Now, we need to be careful that we do not get on a tangent and emphasize only one area. There's this whole matter of growing and developing in the Lord. We need to conquer this land. We need to bring down the walled cities. And the walled cities in the demon power happens to be demons that are of one kind and are in a particular city. All, like a cluster of grapes, all that deals with sex will be in that one cluster of grapes, and all that deal with mental things will be in another cluster, and all that deal with physical things will be in another cluster, and so all that deal with pride will be in another cluster, and there is one that is in charge of this area. And therefore, we whip him. Now, the higher up the ladder you can go, as far as the names are concerned, the less battle you have. This guy with the red shirt, man, he looks like he could whip his way through Wildcat. He looks like him. Now, if I was going to fight with him, I might be ever so clever with my fist, but I'm bound to get hit a couple of times. I remember after I was saved, I had an occasion where I had to go back into the old job, or one of the old jobs that I used to work at as a longshoreman. And you don't get rougher, tougher, armier men than the longshoremen. And so one fella, full of the devil, was going to clean my plow. Well, what do you do as a Christian? Well, you can cower. You can say, oh, no, please. And I said, well, you have at it. But remember, when you have a meal, I'm going to have a bite or two. I'm going to have a sandwich. And boy, he looked at me and he decided he didn't want to do it. Boy, was I glad. My. But if you want to fight with a fist, you're going to get hurt. You're going to fight with the footman. If you're going against that walled city and fight against the bowman, well, there's one bowman, and then there's another bowman, and there's the spearman, and there's the swordman, and you're going to fight. But if you conquered the king, the whole city falls. If I take my sword, chop off his head, I don't need to worry about his fist. The higher up the chain of command you go, the more power. Now, you see, he's not going to fight me with his head. He said, look out, I'll hit you with my head. Not hardly. And then I really hurt him. I hit him right on the fist with my chin. No. Huh? No. And it's the same thing. It's the same truth, beloved. The higher up the chain of command you go, the less battle you have, the less you have to yield to demonstration and many things, the more victory and the easier the deliverance comes, because you've conquered the ruling demon. Now, I want to get into that a little bit this afternoon. How are we doing? Okay. I want to talk about that a little bit. And remember, it isn't with a dogmatic spirit. I've had to change many things as God came in and as Satan tried to deceive and so forth. But the names that I got, there was never a name that I got that we didn't at least wait until we got it from at least three different sources. Three different people. Sometimes we take names that the demons give us. We command them to give us names. I was said the other night, you're not supposed to, they lied to you. Well, you're not supposed to seek knowledge from demons. Don't you be asking them this or that or anything else. Your source of knowledge is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And you miss God. So many get off on tangents and things, and it's a shame. It's a shame. And it's no wonder they go astray, because they disobey some of the basic rules of God. You don't go to a fortune teller to learn things. You don't go to witches to learn things. And you don't try to be instructed or schooled by demon powers. But you can command them to give me your name, because Jesus did it. He said to the legion, what is your name? And they said, legion. All right? And so we have the power. So we have gotten the name. But we don't accept one name. We wait until we have gotten the same name with the same force behind it, from at least, let anything be established by two or three witnesses. Our source of names also have come many, many times right out of the Word of God, as God has revealed to us portions of Scripture and so forth that apply in that particular aspect. And then many times they come through the Word of Knowledge as God reveals the names of those particular demons to us as we're dealing with somebody. And so We have a notebook upstairs, and I brought it along. I don't know why I brought it along, but it's about 120 pages typewritten of names of demons all the way down and what they are and what they do. A regular dictionary. Well, God hasn't allowed me to do anything with that yet. And when it comes time, I will. But this, we're talking about years of categorizing and classifying these into their different categories. But there is a whole chain of command. Now, the upper echelon, what I call the upper echelon, the upper chain of command, there's only one of a kind of them. There's only one Leviathan. There is only one Belial. There is only one Lucifer. But the lower echelon, there are millions of them. But they receive their strength like the tree from their son, which is Satan, their ruler. And they sap off from you the minerals, the nourishment, the life from you. For in you, in him, is life. And they try to kill you. They try to sap off. They like to be drawing off of your body and off your life. They need a place to manifest. And so they seek a body through which they can manifest. Through which they can stay. They are disembodied spirits. They have no body. Their body was in the spiritual realm. And they were cast out of that spiritual realm into a material realm without a body. Therefore, they seek your body. We were created in a material realm, and God gave us a body to exist in this material realm. But he's preparing us a spiritual body. And Paul talked about it. I long to be clothed upon with that body, that spiritual body. You see. He said, with my to be away from here, it'd be wonderful. And so God is preparing a people that will move in to a spiritual body called the body of Christ. And then even that is divided up into divisions or a chain of command. You see. All right. Now we have the upper echelon. We have the lower echelon. And that upper echelon is the ruling area. The lower echelon is the footwork, is the fist, the feet, the body, or the outreach. All righty? And so we can take that lower echelon and we can conquer that lower echelon. We can send it to the lake of fire. I know that different men of deliverance say, oh, you can't do that. And they cite some fellow that said, I'd put you in chains and throw you to the mud in the bottom of the ocean. That's not scripture. If you're going to do something, say something, make sure that at least it lines up with the word of God. But the demoniac, he said to Jesus, have you come to torment us ahead of time? Well, what is the torment that is reserved for satanic force? It's the lake of fire. Have you come to cast us into the sea? Into the abyss is the translation there. Have you come to cast us and to torment us ahead of time? In other words, he acknowledged that Jesus Christ had the ability to cast them into the lake of fire, the place of torment, into the abyss, ahead of time. But the upper echelon will not be cast into that lake of fire. And that, you see, is going to be the time when the man-child is born, 12th chapter of Revelation, and he is raised up to the throne of God, or elevated into the throne room. He becomes a king now, a ruler that will rule the nations with a rod of iron. At that time, what happens? Well, there is war in heaven, and Satan is cast down to earth. That's the first step of dethroning him. And the man-child does this. And then he is the physical or the spiritual body of Christ, of which Jesus is the head. And then, later, they cast him into the lake of fire and chained him there. A lot of people ask what we're going to do during the 1,000 years. Well, that's another Bible study in itself, but we're going to perform miracles. Say, well, won't that be a great age of peace? If it is a great, it will be a great age of peace, but not because everybody has had a lobotomy. You know what a lobotomy is? It's an operation where they operate on your brain and you become just a zombie, you know. We've got lots of those walking around, the living dead. Well, they are, and anybody that's unsaved is living dead. But it will be, beloved, we are living in this time when we need to take the full counsel of God, don't we? It will be peace on earth because the man-child rules with a rod of iron. Why does he need to rule with a rod of iron if everything is in peace and everybody is docile? It's because he's going to have to rule. And the Bible in Hebrews talks about the power of the age to come. What is the age that's still ahead of us? The 1,000 years millennium when the lion will lay down with the lamb, but the children of God on that seventh day are going to do miracles. A day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. See how we can get off? It just goes and goes and goes and goes. And I really shouldn't get into this, but quickly I will finish my thought. It took 6 days for God to create the heaven and the earth, and the seventh day he rested. It took 6 days or 6,000 years, or the sixth day God created a man, didn't he, in creation? God created a man on the sixth day that on the seventh day ruled all that he had created. And God took a day of rest. And now we are in the end of the 6,000th year or the sixth day. And God's going to create a man-child that will rule all of his creation while God takes a day, 1,000 years of rest, and God sits upon the throne. I mean, the man-child sits on the throne and rules with a rod of iron. And you want to see what the woman and the rest of the church are going to do? Not just the man-child ruling, but what they're going to do? Well, go back and through the Word of God and study all the things that Jesus did on the Sabbath day. He didn't come just to defy the priest and defy the law and all of this. He came, and here he's given us a beautiful, beautiful picture of what we're going to do and the power of the age to come. And what did he do? Well, he took the woman with the withered hand, and the man with the withered hand, and he stretched it out. And the hand ministry will be in full, complete bloom. Hallelujah. Huh? And the woman that we talked about that was bowed over, that could only see earthly things, is suddenly going to be released and will be able to look up and see heavenly things. Well, see how you can get off? Terrible, leading me astray here. All righty. We want to talk about these things a little bit. I want you to remember that, first of all, Satan is trying to counterfeit everything that God has. Now, how do we focus that? This goes up and down, but, there we are. I'm clever, huh? All right. Okay. I heard Lee say amen, Dan. Thank you. All right. Now, remember, Satan counterfeits everything that God does. What do we have here? We have the counterfeit of the Trinity. He is setting up a kingdom that is a counterfeit of God's kingdom. Okay? And so God is the office, and the office of God is made up of Father, Word, and Holy Spirit. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. And so he is setting up a kingdom that is like that. And Lucifer is a counterfeit. Lucifer is a counterfeit of the Father. And what did he do? His name, another of his name, his secret name, is Ieba. And what did Lucifer do? Because we want to study. We'll keep going back to this. What did he do? Well, he caused the angels to worship him. He directed praise and worship to himself. And that's exactly the area that he still maintains. He causes man to worship in his domain, which is the false religions, the occult, witchcraft, and so forth.
He has to do with curses and decrees and all of these things. He's in charge, but he works in this area. Then Eklish is a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. Eklish, or Babylon, is a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit, so he is an unholy spirit. And as the Holy Spirit strives to make purity and perfection and cleanliness in your life, he strives to pollute and make imbalance and imperfection in your life. Therefore, he takes sex, which is a beautiful thing, and perverts it. And he takes and pushes people to the extremes in any area. In food, you see, it's the misuse of the thing that makes it evil, not the thing itself. Food is not evil. You couldn't live without it. But misuse of it is gluttony and obesity. Sex is a beautiful thing, but the misuse of it is evil. You see? And be careful. We are so prone, because Satan touches something, to call everything that it looks like it evil. It's not necessarily everything evil. Just because the world uses money, I don't see any of you throwing any of it away. Bless God, hit me with $1,000 bills. Go ahead. You see, people don't do that. And just because people drown with water, I don't see any of you refusing to drink water. The abuse of it is the sin, not the thing itself. As far as the things, not the things that Satan has created that are evil and wicked, but it's the abuse of it. And so the unholy spirit takes sexual problems, obesity, and anything unholy, and so forth, and goes on. Now, under Lucifer is Belial, next in the chain of command. And under Babylon, or Eklish, is Leviathan. Now, we get by Abba, the name for Tyrus, or the king of Tyrus. Yeah, I know. In Jesus' name. And so, you get by Abba. You see, it manifests. Now, this gal loves God. She's a sweet child of God. Okay. Amen. So don't worry about it. All right. By Abba means two fathers. Right? Well, this is a counterfeit of the Word, which is a part of the Godhead and is our Father. And Jesus, who is our Father, we are His generation. We are His seed. He hath begotten us. All right? And so, two fathers, or by Abba. Interesting? All right. And what area did Jesus work in? Well, he came, first of all, or in an area to forgive sin, but he came with his stripes. We are healed. Part of Calvary is healing. The restoring, the healing of our body. And so, by Abba has to do with all physical things that afflict your body. Just the opposite of Jesus Christ. He is a counterfeit of that particular area. Physical problems and mental problems, and under him, the next echelon is Latimer, or Beelzebub. And so Belial, Leviathan, and Beelzebub, and their spiritual names. Now, I put Amethyst up here, but you notice I put a question mark. And I'm very careful in this area, because the name never did ring true with me, and I got it, and I put it there, but even since we have left, the one that I got the name out of has gone back into sin. I just got a phone call. It breaks my heart. One, a child that we had spent many, many, many hours with. But background is witchcraft. And this lady was dedicated to Satan as a little child. Anyway, so by Abba, and under him is all the things to do with our physical body, physical and mental and so forth. Alrighty. Now, have you all copied that? Now, before we go down into these particular areas, let me say that I left one chart back, but here is the next major thing in that chain of command, and it is a counterfeit of the 12 apostles. And it is the 12 zodiacs. And across America, the horoscope and the zodiac is going wild. And these 12 zodiacs are in charge of 12 regions of the world. And they are also in charge of particular months. And so people say, well, what sign are you under? Honey, you are under the sign of the cross, the sign of the fish. You say, but there are things, like all those born in this certain month, they do all have all these characteristics. You know why? Because it's the characteristic of Satan, of that demon power being formed in them. Just as Christ is formed in you and you become more Christ-like, as they declare their allegiance to Him, they become more like that demon power. And so therefore, everybody under that particular sign take on those particular characteristics. Okay? Oh, yeah? All righty. The one that is in charge is the one that the month is. So those, they say, well, in certain months, well, they have these things happen to them, and it's roused up because the stars come in a certain way and so forth. It's because the power over that month is in charge for that particular month. And then the next one, when its month comes, they change their power or their rulership in that area by according to whose month or what month it is, because now it's the month of those that they claim as their children. Therefore, they're first in charge of that ruling area. And that's how we understand what is this go. All righty? Are you ready to go on? Do you follow what we're doing? Okay. Now we want to go back. And then under them is a counterfeit of the seven spirits of God. And those are made up into a crown. I've left the chart upstairs on the crown. But it's a modius. It is a tube-like thing, as we have got to see it. And how do we get it? Well, God gave a vision to David of part of it, and to another David in our church of another part of it. And then as we were praying and studying, all of a sudden God slipped it all together, and we saw what the crown was. When we were born in this world, we were born under the rulership of the God of this world. We were shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. And Satan crowned us as his property. When Jesus cast out the seven devils out of Mary Magdalene, he closed those seven channels through which Satan was ruling. Do you ever wonder why she was set free because of only seven devils? When here we have all of these things to deal with, because he dealt with the crown. He closed the modius. And the upper echelon rule reaches through that crown, through the different crowns that deal with different areas of our life, and reaches in. And the names of these are the same seven that were working in Laodicea and Smyrna and Thyatira and Philadelphia. That's not the name of the church. That's the name of the town that the churches were in. And they are the seven spirits that make up that crown through which Satan tries to rule and control the world. Still with me? Am I giving you too much? All right. What happened? Did I move that off there? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about that other thing, wasn't I? Okay, let's talk about Aiba. Babylon is under Aiba. And then Jezebel comes in that chain of command. And remember, I'm not being dogmatic. I know these are definite areas, no question. But sometimes I have to later slip something in up above or slip something in underneath. Do you follow? And so Dotoma is the head and in charge of the warlocks. And Elysia is in charge and head of the witches. And down through these comes curses, direct curses. And curses into the third and the fourth generation. Curses that have been put upon your grandparents. And the medical science knows that that's why they want your background when you go into the doctor. Oh, I'm going to leave it for a while, so don't be so interested in copying that you miss what I'm saying, or be sure and get a tape to go along with it. That's why they want to know, did you have diabetes in your background, in your father or your grandfather? Or did you have heart trouble, or did you have cancer? Why? Because it comes down and it will show up in the third and the fourth generation. Well, they don't understand, but they know this to be true. But it is also true all the way through in demon powers, because curses or afflictions or curses of afflictions that are in the family will show up in the third and the fourth generation. And so curses can be on your family all the way down through. And that's why we need to break these curses. All righty? And then evil decrees. Let's talk about evil decrees. Are we doing all right? Okay. Lots of times God's children are used in evil decrees. We profess with our mouth something, and the psalmist said, that I greatly feared came upon me. Why? Because we are snared by the words of our own mouth. We decree it. We open the door, and it comes in. It becomes alive. And don't allow yourself to worry about cancer, 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 cancer. Resist that devil, and don't you speak it. You can't stop the birds from flying over your hair, but honey, you don't have to let them build a nest in your hair. And I look into some of you, and you don't have to worry about that. You don't have much hair. I'm getting my legs in now. I'm losing so much every time I take a shower, it makes me wonder what's happened. I didn't decree it. I said, never mind. But, you know, this is one of the problems in as you walk along. Let's guard what we say. Amen? Okay? When somebody has hurt you, don't you dare get on your knees and say, God, convict them and bring them to the nation. Show them. They might not be wrong. It might be you, honey. He that thinks by the inch and talks by the yard should be kicked by the foot. Amen. I don't know who it came from. It sounds good. Amen. It's better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. All right. And so we pray wrong, and you say, well, how does that affect somebody? The Bible says, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. And you have decreed something, but God can't answer it. You have not because you ask amiss. But Satan is there ready to say, the Word of God says, if he decrees, it shall be. Therefore, I have the right to do it. And we put things upon our brother and upon our sister and upon ourselves with the words of our mouth. Evil decrees. Amen. Guard what you say. What does the Bible say? We are to speak as the oracles of God. Lots of times we're snared by the words of our own mouth. We preach Satan's gospel. And just one little example and we'll go on. They say, would you teach a Sunday school class, sister? Said, oh, I can't. Now, that isn't what the Word of God says. That's what Satan says, and you're repeating him, and you're establishing and sowing his seed. God's Word says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Think about it the next time you're needing. All right? Evil decrees. False confession. I think we've dealt with that, haven't we? Huh? Ungodly prayers. I think we've dealt with that, haven't we? Huh? You pray, God help them, God lift them up, God bless them, God encourage them, God meet their needs. But don't you be the judge on it. Huh? All righty. And then I said the follower of pigs and pyro. It was easier to just copy his list, but I've got 120 pages, like I told you, of names. Okay? And so here we are, all of these things. I think I have. Are you pretty close to finishing with that one? Well, I got another full page here coming up. You can get the last part of there from the Pigs in the Parlor by the book back there. And then the occult, the Ouija board, and palm reading, and handwriting analysis, and automatic analysis, and extra sense and perception, and hypnotism, and horoscope, and astrology, and levitation, and fortune-telling, and so forth and so on. All right? All of this area down through that area of perversion of things. Now, some of those things you just write. From up there, the following are part of Pigs in the Parlor, by Pigs in the Parlor, and you have all the rest automatically. All right? What else can I tell you? There's so many things. Lots of times the demon power will be in one mate, but work in the other. Or a demon power, when you're dealing with it, will do just the opposite. The spirit of frigidity will work in one, in the wife, but work just the opposite in the man, the same spirit. Or will be resident in the one and work entirely in the other. I have a friend, a missionary friend, that his daughter was the housing place. And every night that demon power would come out and work on his body in physical afflictions. It couldn't get in, but it would work on him. And we pray for him, pray for him. He'd get a measure of release. But when we finally hit the one and his daughter, the things were gone. That was the end of it. They're pretty clever. But they will work in one and then just work in the opposite in the other in order to cause conflict. In order to cause division. Now, needless to say to you, there's no way that I can remember all these names. I've gone over them, we've gotten them, but there are so many of them that now I have to just deal with the rulership of it and any particular thing that God brings to me as we're praying for people, but there's no way to go back and remember all of these names in their category. Okay? But you see, there's coming a time in this last day move when we will know as we are known. There won't be any question. We will be like him. And no man needed to teach him anything. We will be like him. Does that stretch your imagination? The things God has in store for his children are so far above God's people being able to grasp it today that there's no way that I can describe to you or even comprehend myself of those great things that God has in store for us. You say in hard times there will come a time, beloved, if we need to be going through hard times, when we will take the loaves and fishes and bless them and they will multiply. And we have taxes to pay and we will go down and fishing and I'll enjoy that and we'll come back with our tax money. And have you heard anybody yet say to the storm, peace be still? No, we've prayed and no storm. I had a deacon in North Dakota. He didn't pay his hail tax. His insurance, hail insurance. And here came the hail. If you ever been in a hail storm up in that wheat country, it comes and it just roars right on along and it just levels, it pounds it right down to the ground. You got a mud pile afterwards. And he got right out in the yard and he said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord. And that hail came right down like this and parted and went around all of his property and closed in right on the other side and kept right on going. Glory be to God. See, God's on the throne. God's on the throne. God's on the throne. Now we come to Eklish, or by Abba. Okay? Now, under this, the unholy spirit, R is Leviathan, or Elshan. You've already had that upper chart. Sexual infirmities. And Percy is in charge of sexual or the reproduction disorders. Cysts, cramps, tumors, cancer, all of these things. And sexual impurities. And there is a trinity, Moradon, and Nirvana, that is over the impurities. Now, in California, God gave us the name of the lust spirit over Northern California, another non-central, and another non-Southern California. We got the names of it. God gave us the name of the ruler over Los Angeles area. We haven't got the name of the San Fernando Valley yet, Lee, but we've got the name of the overall spirit. And God is doing this. And I feel this, beloved, and this might be speaking out of order, but I think that God took our little church through and fought a warfare to conquer a land, so that now that we have conquered that land, others, the ministry of this area, can be reaching out. You say, well, men have been in deliverance, but not in the ruling demons and in the ruling names, only spasmodically. But the army that conquers, then the rest of the army that comes through, they don't have to fight a thing. They just come in. It's already been conquered. And since then, over television and over, many of the big preachers are getting names suddenly. And suddenly God has given them names they've never heard before. And suddenly, because somebody conquered the land. Somebody went in and fought the battle and conquered the land. Glory be to God. And so you have this list of names that are under Eklish, or Mystery Babylon. All righty.
Some of these are from Pigs in the Parlor. I see, no. Yeah, well, you could... naturally, those things would be in Pigs in the Parlor, but I didn't copy them right from Pigs in the Parlor. And then you get the weight problem. Damien is the ruler overweight. And then under that, under Damien, is God of the belly. He says, whose God is their belly, you see. And other, the spirit of fat, nervous habit of eating, addiction to food, spirit of obesity, spirit of gluttony, spirit of water retention. King Henry VIII is a one that indulged himself, not only sexually, but in food and great banquets and everything he can. And so it's also there. It's that that causes you to find yourself at the ice box, ready to piece when you don't even realize that you've gone there. It's piecing. You might write that beside of it, King Henry VIII. And then, of course, we come on to, are you finished with the top page? It works. They can say all they want that you can't be saved, but we know you can, don't we? They can say all they want you can't know that you're saved, but we know that you can. We're born again. And they can say all they want that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues is not for today, but they're too late. We know that it's real. Huh? Don't you see the very same, I'm going to use this word wisely, group. Everybody been saying bunch around here, you know. The very same group that says you can't be saved. The very same group that says you can't be filled is now guilty of the same thing that the others were guilty of. Now they're saying, well, there's no such thing as deliverance. Indeed. There's no such thing as a last day ministry. Indeed. There's no such... Oh, in other words, they had the full knowledge of God. Their ark has stopped. In fact, it's still at Shiloh, and the ark has lifted from it, and they don't even know it. They're down there tiptoeing in, quiet, don't even know that the blessing is gone. And David... He's back at the thrashing floor. Brother Lee talked about the thrashing floor this morning. David's back at the thrashing floor with the ark, taking it on to Mount Zion. That's where we are. We're at that time where the fan is going to be in his hand. He's going to thrash it. He's going to cleanse it. And then six Levites and two priests, eight of them, the number of new beginning, of resurrection, take the ark and I'm preaching a message I want to give to you later, so I better shut up. Glory be to God. All right, you ready with the first one? We need to go on in. You see, all the old army of the world is standing against us. And Saul in his old kingdom, in his old churchology, is standing down there afraid to death to touch anything or do anything. But God has anointed a boy called David. He filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he separated him to be what? A king. And so Jesse turns around and says, hey, go on down there to the battle and take him some new food. And so he comes down with the new food, but what does his own brother do? Those of his own household and the rest of Israel said, what are you doing here leaving that little old flock down there? Who in the world is that group meeting down there in our kin, Saul? I don't say it that way. I say Arkansas. All right. Arkansas, huh? No. And so they finally, some of the leaders say, we're so helpless. What in the world are we going to do? And so they listen to David and they say, well, come on, David, you join our little group now. But honey, that armor's not going to fit. It isn't God's plan. It isn't God's purpose. You see, Saul, he's in a committee. His armor's hanging up, isn't it? He hasn't even got it on for battle. He's in a committee. You know what a camel is, don't you? A camel is a horse that a committee put together. Some of you are not awake. You're not going along with me. A camel is a horse that a committee put together. That's where Saul was, you see. He was in a committee meeting. There's a time when we ask God to bless, ask God what to do, and ask God direction. And then he spoke to us, and we did what he wanted us to do. Now the church world meets in a committee and decides what they want to do, and then they say, Lord, won't you bless it? Are you finished with this one? Ah, praise the Lord. And so Saul, what did David do? See, what David put on, David took off Saul's army. Come out from among them to be a separate. Now, he was still amongst the army. Don't misunderstand. You're still amongst the children of Israel. You haven't translated anywhere. David didn't translate. And don't forget, you're still, there are other saints there. There are armies that you're going to deliver, that you're going to help them. Don't be fighting them. But what did he do? Well, he turned around and he took his sling and he took five little old stones and he put it in the sling and he went down and he killed that giant. Fivefold ministry. The number of grace. By the grace, we're going to take a... And who are these little old rocks that he takes? Well, they're rocks rolled in the brook. You ever see a rock polisher? It's a jar that they put rocks in and they tumble it over and over and over again to all the rough places. Honey, God's trying to make you rocks that'll go true when he uses you. Yeah. And you're going through trials and tests, many of the afflictions of the righteous, and thinking not strange concerning the fire trials that are by you. Some strange thing is happening to you, but count it all joy that when he appears, you may be like him. Say that. Yeah. Okay. Well, if I'm dealing with not in a parallel. I usually deal with, I name all of the things underneath this if I got time. But if I did that with everybody that came up here, we wouldn't be midnight, we'd be mid-noon next day, you see. And so, I'm showing you dealing with those things. The higher up you go, you curse, let me deal with that for a bit. You rebuke and bind and curse that root of evil. The root of evil, you've read it in the Word of God. It comes all the way down from the Trinity in through its area, clear down to the lower echelon. I rebuke and bind the upper echelon and curse that root. Then I command the lower echelon to leave, the lower realm to leave. You see? And I usually, many times I will count 10. I will give it time. I say it may wander, but it may not touch in the family or in the household of God. But it may wander if it leaves before 10. It gives it an incentive to want to get on out itself. But then I say, but when I reach 10, you're going to the lake of fire. And I count, and when I reach 10, then I consign it to the lake of fire. To be chained there, not in the deep of the ocean or anything, but to the lake of fire, to be chained there until the day of judgment. And I say, angels of the living God, come and do that. That is, they're ministering spirits for the saints of God, and they do that. And we're going to see more and more of angelic being. At the moment of every great happening, angels were involved. Amen. Well, that's another myth. No, I just, many times as God leads me, I will bind those crowns. I will close that door in the name of Jesus Christ. It's according. There are times when we've had deliverance services where we've just dealt with the crowns. We've just dealt with the crowns. Alrighty? You have to let God lead you in this area. Alrighty? Yeah. Yeah, come on up, son. Yeah. While my son is coming... He's been in all of this. He's many, many things, many of the names, much of the deliverance has come through his ministry. And it's been a body ministry. Our whole church is involved in it. We generally have a deliverance service on Tuesday. We have a prayer meeting and then a deliverance service. Although we are ready to deal with things at any time. But if a demonstrative spirit... A spirit that is not going to be set free, it knows that that person doesn't want it out, but they, if it knows it can come and put on a big show, and Susie has brought her husband and finally got him into the church door, and he puts on a big show, he doesn't come back. He says, wait a minute. And it's accomplished, and you don't set it free. You don't set it free. God never overrules its free will. So therefore, we are not prone to use it in that area. Even in the last day ministry, I don't often teach it on the Sunday morning. It's a full gospel. There are still souls to be saved. We preach salvation. We preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. On Wednesday night, we teach the deeper walk.
And on Tuesday night, we practice deliverance. And we're not ashamed of it in the other time when it presents itself. Many times I preach on the last day ministry, but at the leading of God's Spirit. You follow what I'm saying? All righty. Yeah, go ahead, then.
I was going to say that in relationship to these crowns, or as we call them, modiuses, they are in relationship around the head in this manner. And they are given to every single person that is born as Satan's crown of iniquity on the children of flesh, or on your flesh. Well, this is why Jesus... Well, have you ever wondered why the crown of thorns were put on his head? Take the crown of iniquity off. Okay, that sacrifice on the crown of iniquity on all our people. And so Jesus died, and when he died, he had those crown of thorns around his head, and he died for that crown of iniquity. So that when he comes, he will give us a diadem or a crown of beauty and royalty. You see? So that's a beautiful area, you see. But until then, this crown cannot be taken away by any deliverance. But it can be closed by cursing it and commanding that door closed. But when Jesus comes, then he'll take that crown, and it'll be completely set free. There'll be no door to open at all, and God will give us his heavenly crown at that time.
And see, these are the people that are going to receive those crowns that Brother Lee has been talking about. And in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and the 4th verse, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, and the chief shepherd is Jesus, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The last deliverance that will happen will be the deliverance that Jesus gives us. So those that say they don't have any spirits are foolish, but those that think they've arrived are foolish too. Because the final work, there's never any work that man ever started that he finished. He could have through the law, but he didn't. And God's Son died upon Calvary for us. And when it finally comes down to the end, let he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Ephesians says, no flesh will glory in his presence. He won't say, well, I did this or I did that. God doesn't want you to do anything. The flesh cannot please God. God's giving you weapons and tools and things to use. And he expects you, and he's coming back, he's going to say, what did you do with my goods? That's another sermon. We'll preach that later. Glory be to God. Just like saying sick'em. I tell you, are you still with me? Well, we're going to go. Okay, now we're talking about Biaba, and I think this is a very important area. Biaba is the counterfeit of the Word and Jesus, two fathers, the counterfeit of it. And you'll notice here, Latimer, or Beelzebub, is the next one in charge. And Thir is one of the dominant demon powers that work in so many areas. That I greatly feared came upon me. Alrighty? I've got to keep moving around so you can write this down. And so, under Latimer is fear, worry, despondency, dread, doubt, apprehension. That is not a full list. And these are lower echelon. Fear, worry, despondency, dread, and doubt. Latimer is upper echelon. Latimer means prince. David, what was it? Lat means? Amir means prince. Oh, peace. Yeah, peace. The Prince of Peace. He's a counterfeit of the Prince of Peace. I believe that's it. Lat Amir. Amir means prince. And I believe Lat is that they call us about fear. And then Reno, arrogance, disgust, conceit, haughtiness, pride, ego, and vanity. And Nahas. You know where I got that? Lee Ellingwood. Lee said, Brother Bunch, have you ever considered or dealt with Naha? And I said, no. And he said, well, years ago I dealt with a woman, and she had a problem of self-pity. And so we began to, and here, all of this came out, and it enlarged to self-pity, indifference, hurt feelings, pouting, and martyr spirit. You've all seen them. Oh, bless God, they just always, always pick on me. I guess that's my cross to bear.
And reino, arrogance, disgust, conceit, haughtiness, pride, ego, vanity, ratu, rebellion, stubbornness, temper, raving, suicide, retaliation, revenge, and murder.
Well,
hallelujah. Glory be to God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.